Well, if you've been with us for about a month or so, you know that the topic has been what, church?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Now, even though these long series tend to wear people out, and I know they do, there's an occasion where you might go, well, haven't we heard everything there is to hear about forgiveness? And I will tell you what I've shared with this church for many, many years. You will hear me preach similar messages if you're here long enough over and over again. Why do you think that is? Because not everybody's done what the message was about yet, so you still need to hear it because God still needs to do a work in you. Amen? I still need it. You still need it. We can read passages in the Bible that we've read 100 times, Billy, and then that 100th time it convicts us, and we're ready to change, and we're ready to move forward. So today we're going to do another sermon on forgiveness. We're going to dive right into another character study on forgiveness. But I believe unless God wills me to do another one and leads me to do another one, this will be our last one and our final one in the series. Now, to be honest with you, this was one of the first ones I wanted to do. I love the character of Peter in the Bible. I think Peter is very much like a David. If you read in the Old Testament the stories of David, how David is very loving, he's very committed to the Lord, he's very worshipful and reverent, but he's also very sinful at times in the Bible. And you see this dichotomy, this part of his personality. He's not just righteous all the time. He's somebody that loves the Lord, but is flawed, and he really makes mistakes. And you see David restored. Well, Peter is a lot like that in the New Testament. That's why I love his character so much. Peter is very passionate. He's very impulsive. Peter is the guy that wants to go to war. He wants to fight. He wants to stand up for Jesus. Peter's the one that loves Jesus passionately. And he says things to Jesus in the scriptures that maybe the other disciples didn't say the way he said it. We're going to get into some of that today. But you'll also see with all that love and all that passion and all that commitment to the Lord that Peter is a very flawed disciple. You see starkly in some of the scripture we're going to look at today how flawed he really was, and how even someone who walked with Jesus, someone who talked with Jesus, someone who was one of Jesus' core disciples during his earthly ministry still had some serious problems and committed some sin. And we're going to dive into his character, and we're also going to dive into his redemption. We're going to dive into his relationship with Jesus, and we're going to shine a mirror onto ourselves today. Are you ready to do that?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to read a few passages. If you want to get the full story of Peter and this particular sin that he committed, there are 3 different passages in John. And this is listed in all of the Gospels, but John is the most complete. So I'm sharing it with you mostly out of John. So I want you to turn to the book of John in your Bibles this morning. And we are going to get into the story of Peter's denial of Jesus. Most of you are familiar with Peter's denial of Jesus. We're going to be in John chapter 18. We're going to be in John chapter 21 and John chapter 13. We are going to have one scripture in Matthew. It's going to be chapter 26. So mostly in John, and we're going to read this together all the way through. We're going to read all the passages, and then we're going to get into the passages, and we're going to break down what's going on and what's happening here. So it says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. But Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me how many times?
3 times.
You have denied me 3 times. So just to give you a little background of what's going on in John chapter 13, if you've been in Smith Chapel very long, you will know we study this every year because this is the Lord's Supper. This is foot washing. This is the time where Jesus tries to explain to his disciples what's about to happen to him. And Peter wants to be with Jesus. I want you to see that in this passage. He doesn't want Jesus to go anywhere without him. He wants to protect Jesus. He wants to be near Jesus. He wants to be Jesus' closest companion. So that's John chapter 13. Let's take a look at John chapter 18. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. How many people know where this takes place?
Outside of where Jesus is on trial.
Yeah, this is outside of where Jesus is on trial. Jesus has already been betrayed by Judas. He's already been taken. Now listen, all the other disciples, they're already gone. They already left Jesus. They're nowhere to be found. To Peter's credit, he at least followed Jesus this far. Amen? I mean, Peter loved Jesus. Now listen, there's no doubt that Peter loved Jesus and he followed him this far. Now Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, Are you not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter did what to?
Cut off.
Said, it's like, you know my cousin, right? You cut his ear off. I know who you are. Did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately, what happened? A rooster crowed. Now, if you look in John chapter 18, you'll find that the story of his betrayal, the three times, it's split. Okay, in some of the others, he betrays him three times in a row. In John chapter 18, he betrays him once. Then there's another passage of scripture. Then he betrays him two more times. They kind of pick up the conversation in two different chunks. And in another book of the Bible, it actually says that Peter was so adamantly refusing to know Jesus that he began to curse. He wanted to stand apart from Jesus. He was denying Jesus so passionately that he was willing to set himself apart, because none of Jesus' followers would have done what? None of them would have been cursing. None of them would have been denying him, but certainly none of them would have been speaking in that way to other people. So Peter made it very clear to these people that he didn't know Jesus. Now in this moment, why do you think that is? He's afraid. He's afraid for his life. Yeah, he's afraid for his life. Look, they just took Jesus. They're beating him. He's on trial. He's probably going to be crucified. I mean, if they know I'm his follower, they might loot me right on in there. But keep in mind the contrast. Jesus said he was going. Peter said, I want to be where you are, Lord. He said, I'd die for you, Lord. And he said, would you? Would you really? And the answer to that is, at that moment, no. At that moment, the answer is no. So Peter denied him again. Immediately the rooster crowed. And then I want you to take a look at Matthew 26. I wanted to include this because it's not in John and it is in Matthew. Matthew chapter 26, verses 74 through 75. This is a partial. It's a piece of 74 and all of 75. Because I think this is so important. A lot of people have read this story and they've had this big question. I mean, because most people would consider denying Jesus a big deal. Okay, if someone were to walk into this church this morning, you know, with a gun and say, look, you deny Jesus or you're all dead. And hey, in the time that we live in, that's a very real possibility, folks. We've gone from 15 years ago, me doing hypotheticals like that, to us being able to cite examples of that in our own country. So that's not so far-fetched. And somebody says, you deny Jesus or you're going to die, most of us would think it's one of the worst sins imaginable to deny Jesus in that moment. Would we not, Miss Lori? I mean, we would think that we would never do that. I've had conversations with people and we've talked about it. We would never do that. We would want to stand up for Jesus and give our lives for Jesus. That's just what Peter did. And he loved Jesus as much as any of us love Jesus. Amen? He did. He did. And when it came right down to it, Peter wasn't able to stand in faith. Peter denied Jesus three times. He made sure he was going to save his neck. He did. So, I mean, there's one lesson here I'm not going to preach on, but be cautious. Be cautious about the commitments that you make to the Lord and how firm you think you are unless you fall. Scripture says that. You need to pay attention, be careful, and be watchful. But this is what happens to Peter. Immediately, a rooster crowed. And Peter did what, church? He remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out
And he what? Wept bitterly. A lot of people ask me, and we've had conversations about this, where Peter denies Jesus. It's such a bad sin. It's one of the worst sins we can imagine. Where is it that he's restored? Where is it that he repents? Where is it that he recognizes he has sinned and he has asked for forgiveness? Folks, I would say it's right here. Listen, it's this moment in the scripture. This is where Peter is saying, I know I messed up. I know I sinned. And I'm weeping, what?
Bitterly.
He wept bitterly because in that moment, he was sorry. In that moment, he recognized that he had betrayed the one that he loved the most. So if you've ever asked yourself that question about this whole story, where was Peter restored? Where did he repent? Why did he just get to, you know, maintain his disciple status? And to be honest, he was a special disciple. He was one of the closest to Jesus. Why did he get to just continue? It's because he understood what he had done was wrong. And we've already talked about this at least a couple of times in this series. How does Jesus forgive? He forgives with grace so long as there is repentance. If we're willing to say, I'm sorry, if we understand what we've done is wrong, he is always going to forgive us every single time. It doesn't matter if we sin against him 1,000 times, so long as our heart is sorry and it's sincere. He can tell. He knows when you're just feeding him a line and when it's serious. You can fool people, you can't fool God. He's going to forgive you every time. So when he wept bitterly, I believe that was his moment of repentance. I believe that was the moment where he said, Jesus, I'm sorry, you were right. And I wasn't being humble, I was being proud. I didn't think I'd ever deny you. I didn't think I'd ever turn away from you. And at the first moment that I was really challenged, I didn't meet the expectations. I'm sorry, God. So be careful, church. And then the last passage, and by far the biggest one that we're going to look at, is John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. This is a great story because this is where Jesus does a lot of stuff with Peter, okay? Peter is fully restored in this passage, but Peter is also taken to task in this passage. You might not notice it if you're not paying attention, but Jesus is pointing out Peter's denial in this passage. But he is also saying to Peter, I still want you to be a minister. I still want you to do this work. I still want to be your Lord and your Savior. I want a relationship with you. So I want to read this passage together, and then we're going to get into all these, and we're going to talk about Peter a little bit. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Y'all thought that's kind of silly after he denied him 3 times. Do you know when this is taking place? Tell me if you know. This is after the resurrection. Jesus has already been killed. He's been put in the tomb. He's raised from the dead. They've already seen him a couple of times before this, right? And they're not even hardly recognizing Jesus. But they're out in this boat, and there's a guy on the shore with a fire, and he's cooking. And all the other disciples are wondering who it is. And Jesus tells them to cast their net, just like he did way on back when he first called them. Cast your net. Because they weren't catching any fish, and they caught him. And immediately Peter knew what? That's Jesus. And do you know it says that all the other disciples, they rowed the boat to shore. What did Peter do? He jumped out and he swam. He couldn't wait to get to be with Jesus. I'm telling you, Peter loved Jesus. He did. But he had just denied him. This was just after the resurrection. He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was what, church?
Grieved.
He was grieved. He was hurt. Jesus, why are you asking me so many times? I've already told you that I loved you. Don't you believe me? Do you see what Jesus is doing here, though? He was grieved because he said it a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, why this is so interesting is because if you read the context, you see how much Peter loved Jesus. He jumped out of that boat. He swam to shore. He couldn't wait like the other disciples. He wanted to be with Jesus now. But you also see Jesus has taken Peter to task in this because he asked him, do you love me how many times? How many times did he deny Jesus? Three times. And he told Jesus before he denied him, I'll give my life for you. He was tested. He failed. He denied him three times. And Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? Have you ever had a moment like that with the Lord in prayer? Where you've committed to something in your life and you say, God, I'm never going back to that. I'm never going to think that way again. I'm never going to be that person again. And then you failed. And then you had that prayer and you had to ask forgiveness again. And you had this Peter moment. This moment where you've already made this commitment to God and you felt like you were past that stage of your life and that way of thinking and that way of speaking. And you had to ask for forgiveness again. And it's like Jesus is saying, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. I promise. No. Do you really love me? Because when you're tested, that is when your love is going to be shown. When you're tested, when something comes and forces you into a moment where you're tempted to do something wrong and you choose to do right, that's when you're going to show me that you love me. I don't want to hear the words. Hello? I want to see the action. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And do you notice he combines in here the action that he wants to see along with the I love you? It's good that Peter says, I love you, Lord, three different times. But then he says, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. And then at the very end, he says, feed my sheep. He's saying to Peter, if you really love me, prove it. You already said you loved me once and you denied me. I'm taking you to task right now, and I heard your cry. I know that you're repentant. I know that you want forgiveness, and I'm going to offer it, but I'm going to teach you a lesson here, and I'm going to say, don't get too proud. Don't just tell me that you love me. Actually do it. Show it. Do what I ask you to do. So that's why I love Peter. I love Peter because he's so passionate, because he loved Jesus so much. He wanted to be with Jesus so much. He was bold. He would say stuff to Jesus like, I'll go anywhere with you, Jesus. I'll die for you, Jesus. He'll jump out of a boat and he'll swim to the shore when the other disciples don't even want to get wet. You know, they're just like, we'll see Jesus in a minute. It'll take us 5 or 10 minutes. Settle down. Peter couldn't do that. He just had so much passion. He was so, so in love with Jesus. And yet to be so in love with Jesus, to deny Jesus so vehemently, so publicly. I mean, the other disciples abandoned Jesus, but you didn't find them sitting around a campfire cursing and telling everybody they don't follow Jesus. You saw Peter doing that. I mean, for him to be so in love and then to deny him in such a fashion. And, you know, if you read the story of Peter, I'm not going to get into all of it, but those aren't the only times that Peter had problems, okay? He had problems even after this with the early church. But Peter is this great character study, and I think I can see a lot of me in Peter. Hopefully you can see a lot of yourself in Peter. But there are three things today that I really want to learn, and I want you guys to learn and take in about Peter. The first one, Bella, if you can bring it up, the first thing that I want us all to learn is that sometimes the people that love you the most can what? And sometimes you can love somebody and still mess up. Somebody can love you with passionate love and still mess up. We're talking about forgiveness for over a month now, and if there's anything that you can learn from Peter today that maybe you haven't thought of before and that maybe we haven't gotten into yet, it's that Peter loved Jesus so much, but he still denied him when it counted. And Jesus still restored him. And there's a great many of us here today that have had people hurt us and had people wrong us and had people disappoint us, maybe even betray us in a similar fashion to what Jesus was betrayed. You might be holding that in your heart and carrying that around with you and thinking to yourself, well, if they loved me, they wouldn't have done that. But I'm telling you, sometimes people that love you very, very much do very, very stupid things. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And if you're honest with yourself this morning, and I'm trying to be honest with myself through this whole study, you can love somebody very much and you can still be really stupid. Hmm? You can love somebody very, very much and you can do something very, very stupid. You can hurt them. You can betray them. You can lie to them. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying it's what we ought to shoot for as a goal. It's not our life goal, okay? But I'm saying it happens. So instead of looking at a situation where someone has hurt you or you've hurt somebody and thinking, well, that must mean there's an absence of love. There's an absence of compassion. They really don't care. Well, that's not always true. It is sometimes, but not always. Because Peter loved Jesus very much, and Peter still betrayed Jesus. Thing about Peter that I love is that he physically defended Jesus. I mean, he proved his love physically. You know, you guys are going to take my Lord and Savior? Oh, no. He pulled a sword. He cut somebody's ear off, and I promise you, he was probably aiming for something else. Okay, he was trying to kill people. Remember, in this day and age, Peter would have thought Jesus was going to be a Messiah that would lead them in military battles against the Romans. Peter would have thought, this is the guy I'm following to war. We're going to drive these people out of here. They're coming to take him. Guess what time it is? It's time to throw hands, y'all. He pulled his sword out and he started swinging. Do you realize that that is a moment where Jesus knew how much Peter loved him? Because Peter showed it. I mean, Peter was willing to give his life in that moment. He was willing to go to battle, go to war, and even die to protect Jesus, which is what's even more interesting about him. He's such an interesting character when you dig into it, because he was willing to physically die in that moment to save Jesus' life, but then not a few minutes later, maybe a day later, I mean, it wasn't very long, he was challenged in the same way and failed. If that's not confusing, I don't know what is. But listen, folks, human beings are confusing people. Our emotions do like this. Our minds are all over the place. One day, you might very well be able to stand for Jesus and die in that moment. And then another day, there might be a little bit more questioning, or you might have some other things on your mind. We are people that, you know, we're pushed around a little bit. And Peter was like that. He showed Jesus how much he loved him when he pulled that sword and defended Jesus. And the thing that I've shared with you a couple times already, and I love it, read the scripture yourself. I didn't read it today, is how Peter jumped out of that boat and he wanted to be with Jesus. Have you ever had a family member visit after years and years and years of being gone, and you were so excited that you just couldn't wait? You couldn't wait for him to get out of the car. You couldn't wait for him to walk up the steps. You had to go meet them. You had to go be with them. You had to hug them. You know, I remember when I was a kid, for years and years and years, my mom's dad and mother would come and visit us in a camper. And he would drive this big motor home up every year, and he would always surprise us. Nobody would ever tell us when he was coming. And then all of a sudden, you would hear, outside, and it was his air brakes. And it was so exciting. We would go outside, and we couldn't wait to see him. In fact, I was so excited one day to see him that I ran outside, and I don't know if you guys know this or not, but those big motorhomes, they have electrical currents going through them. Very often it's grounded in the metal in the vehicle, and the steps are electrified until you shut everything off. And I remember trying to go up those steps, and I got electrocuted. It was uncomfortable. I didn't die, obviously. It wasn't serious, but it was unpleasant. But that just shows you how much I wanted to see my grandparents. I was so excited. That's how excited Peter was to meet Jesus after his resurrection, and shows you how much he loved him and he still betrayed him. I want to share a quote with you today. Bella, if you can bring this up. I found this morning as I was doing some reading. It said, "He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass if he would ever reach heaven, for everyone has need to be forgiven." Now, the thing that stood out to me here was this was just a rephrasing of something Jesus has already said. If you want to be forgiven, what do you have to do? You've got to forgive other people. And the reason that we have to do that, if we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive other people, is because everybody has something they need forgiveness for. Everybody in this room has had to receive forgiveness from God and from another person at some point in your life. I guarantee it. And I guarantee you that you have hurt somebody or wronged somebody or disappointed somebody, and you have needed to go to them and say, I'm sorry at some point. Everyone needs forgiveness. So as Christians, when we withhold that forgiveness, we are withholding the very thing we are going to need when we face Jesus one day. I pray that we are able to forgive the way Jesus forgave Peter. Peter loved him. Peter failed him. But he still did what, church? He forgave him. He forgave him. So let's learn that from Peter. Just because you disappoint somebody or someone disappoints you doesn't mean they don't love you. Amen? Amen. Let's forgive like Jesus forgave. Number two, I want to take a look at this. Number two, when you hurt, lie to, or betray someone, you must do what? Repent. I've talked about this two times, and the only reason it keeps working its way into the message is not because I'm preaching on this particular topic, but because it's in all of them. It's something I had overlooked. It's something I had never, it never registered to me before. I always understood that we needed to repent when we had a relationship with the Lord. You've got to humble yourself and ask for forgiveness. But I had never applied that to human relations. Well, you see this concept once again in the passages we just read. When Peter denied Jesus and then he recognized he had sinned, what did he do? He went and cried. He went and wept. You know, in that moment, he was saying, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, I've hurt you. I've wronged you. I've betrayed you. You told me I was going to do it. I didn't believe it would even happen. I was too proud. I was arrogant. And I failed you, and I'm sorry. I want you to know that there's somebody in this world that you have hurt. Somebody. There's somebody in this world that you have lied to, you have betrayed, you've said a harsh word to, you've had and dwelt on some very bad thoughts. Yes, that counts. That matters. It does matter how you feel about someone. And those people need to hear you say two very simple words. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Now, I know that you could all pick somebody out that's done something to you. We all know that's part of this story, okay? We all know that somebody has hurt you or wronged you, and someone owes you an apology. Right? How many of you could say that with all confidence? Somebody owes me an apology. Say it out loud. One, two, three.
Someone owes me an apology.
Somebody does. The question, though, that I really want you to chew on, because you already know who owes you one. The question that I really want you to ask is, who do I owe one to? Who is it that I need to say I'm sorry to? And if you can't think of any, I pray that at the very least, you would keep this truth close to your heart so that when the moment arises in the future that you hurt someone or disappoint someone or do something that you ought not have done, that you are ready and willing to say what? I'm sorry. When you hurt, lie to, or betray someone, you must repent. Peter repented to Jesus. We're all expected to repent to God, but we're also expected to repent to one another and to ask forgiveness of one another. I want to share a couple of quotes with you today. One is from Bruce Lee. Anybody ever watch a Bruce Lee movie? Two people. Somebody said no. Not with. I watched one. How many of the guys have watched a Bruce Lee movie? All the guys have. Women, y'all don't count. I understand. It's an action movie. Bruce Lee movies were awesome until I saw Ultimate Fighting Championships and realized you can't fight like that in real life or you get beat down. But when I was a kid, they were amazing. And I thought, boy, I'd love to be like Bruce Lee. Thing is, Bruce Lee had a lot of character. And this is one of the quotes that I found from Bruce Lee. He said, mistakes are always forgivable if one has the courage to admit them. Once again, he's only echoing a truth that Jesus has already taught many times in the scripture. There's nothing new about this. There's nothing groundbreaking. But how often do we allow fear to keep us from saying those two words to somebody? I'm sorry. You know, I was wrong. I didn't always handle things right. I didn't always think right. I didn't always speak well about you or towards you. I mean, listen, if we just broke this down into how many times you've talked about somebody in a bad way behind their back to somebody else, you'd have to say I'm sorry a whole bunch. Probably a lot of us have said something bad about someone else, something that wasn't encouraging, wasn't uplifting, didn't build anybody up to somebody else, whether it was your husband or wife, whether it was a friend at work, you joked about some dude at work that you didn't like, or your boss. Everybody's done this. I promise you, everybody needs to say I'm sorry, but nobody likes to do it. Nobody likes to do it because it places you in a subservient position. It humbles you before the person you're saying I'm sorry to. You cannot stand proudly in front of someone and honestly say I'm sorry. You know, those kind of sorry sound a lot like this. I'm sorry, but, you know, those are not real apologies, folks. That's not real repentance. When you say, I'm sorry, but, you haven't forgiven anything, you haven't let go of anything, and you haven't understood what you did was wrong in the first place. You're still trying to argue your point. Listen, mistakes are always forgivable if one has the courage to admit them. Jesus expects us to forgive, and he expects us to repent. He expects us to handle situations like this. But a lot of us are so scared to be humble before someone else. We don't want to be wrong, and we don't want them to get to win the argument. We just hate it. Don't be like you. Be like Jesus. Amen? Let's not be like we want to be. Let's be the way Jesus wants us to be. One more quote I'm going to share, and we're going to move on to the next lesson. If I owe Smith $10 and God forgives me, that doesn't pay Smith. I love that one. And read it again if you missed the point. If I owe Smith $10 and God forgives me, that doesn't pay Smith. In other words, there's a lot of people that feel as if they have hurt someone. All they've really got to do is ask forgiveness from who? God. If I just ask forgiveness from God, if I'm forgiven by God, then that's the end of it. And we understand that he forgives when we earnestly come before him and ask for forgiveness. But do you think he's going to honor that repentance if we're not willing to repent to the person that we hurt in the first place? If I owe Smith $10 and God forgives me, Smith still doesn't have his $10. If you've hurt someone, if you've lied, if you've betrayed, if you've spoken ill, if you have thought ill of someone and you've dwelt on that and you've let it fester, in any way, if you've wronged another person, if the only thing you do is try to repent with the Lord, you are not done. You need to give Smith his $10. Look at the person next to you and say, give him that $10. You owe them an I'm sorry. You owe them I was wrong. You owe them that. Now, we're saved by grace through faith, amen, but it's preceded by repentance. I don't want you to miss that in this story, and I don't want you to miss it in any of the other lessons. Repentance comes before forgiveness every single time. And repentance with you and another person, it looks like something. It sounds like something. It's not just something you do with the Lord. It's something you do with others as well. The third lesson I think we should learn from Peter is this. And this might be the most important lesson, the one that I really want you to hear today. You are never too far gone for the grace of God in Jesus Christ, and neither is anyone else. You are never too far gone to be forgiven. And if you are never too far gone to be forgiven, guess what? Those people that hurt you, they're not too far gone to be forgiven either. Amen? I'm telling you, this is a truth every Christian has got to cling to. Grace has been extended to us, so grace must be extended to everyone else. If you have felt the grace of Jesus in your life, if you have known what it feels like to disappoint God, to say I'm sorry, and to have him lift all your burdens, to forgive you completely, and to be able to walk free of all the chains and all that burden you were carrying, and say thank you, Jesus, then you need to be willing to do that for someone else.
Someone else is waiting for you to say, I forgive you. There's a lot of people waiting for an I'm sorry, but there's also a lot of people waiting for an I forgive you. And you know what's great about this church? Is it is a great opportunity to tell someone about Jesus without sounding like it's a pitch or like it's a rehearsed speech or like you're knocking on doors just trying to hand out tracts. It's a moment where you've had a personal interaction with a human being and you've hurt them in some way. And there's an emotional connection between you two. And they're hungering and thirsting for that forgiveness. And you go to them and you say, I forgive you. And I forgive you because my God forgave me. And I'm not perfect. And I've sinned. And I've made mistakes. I've hurt God. And even though you've hurt me, I want to give you the same grace he gave to me. You see how much more of a connection there is there? And you see how natural it is? It's not forced. It's not some gimmick. It's not some sales pitch. It's the real thing. It's real grace. And it's you learning from God and learning from this story of Peter and his interaction with Jesus and going to someone and giving them the same thing that he received from Jesus. Look, Jesus not only forgave Peter, but Jesus then gave him responsibility. Do you realize that in the Catholic Church, they've interpreted the verses that I taught today and some others to mean that Peter and all his descendants would be the what? The Pope. Now, if you haven't ever studied the Catholic religion, then you wouldn't know this. But if you are Catholic, you would absolutely know that they took what Jesus said to Peter so seriously that they believed he was supposed to be the leader of the church and all his descendants then would be forever and ever and ever. Now, we don't teach that, okay? We teach that his heart is what we're looking at here. And we teach that that Peter professed his faith in Jesus and his love for Jesus and his service to Jesus is what we all should do, okay? So we don't teach what they teach, but just think about that. There is an entire denomination of Christianity out there that saw the responsibility that they gave to a denier of Jesus and said, that guy's going to be the Pope and the leader of the whole church. Jesus gave Peter a tremendous amount of responsibility after he had done something that most of us would consider one of the worst sins you could ever commit, and that's to deny Jesus in front of other people, especially at the expense and cost of your own life. He did it to save his own skin. He was a coward. But Jesus still forgave and extended that grace. And he gave him a ministry and a responsibility in his kingdom. He didn't just say, okay, I'll forgive you. Now get away from me. I'm tired of looking at your face. I'm disgusted by you. He said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. You love me? Take care of my flock. You love me? You got a ministry. If you love me, then you're all the way back in. And then I've got a job for you too. How many of us extend that kind of forgiveness to other people? Whew. It's hard enough just to say I forgive you, much less fully restore them. But that is what Jesus did to Peter. And I promise you there's not a single one of you here today that he won't do that for. Amen? I don't care how far gone you are. I don't care how sinful a life you've lived. I don't care how disappointing to the Lord that you know that you are. I've been there. Hello? I mean, you know when you have disappointed the Lord. You know it. I don't care how far gone you are. He will always forgive you if you will repent and humble yourself before him. Amen, church?
Amen.
I got one last quote I'm going to share with you, and then we're done today. Forgiving is the giving and so the receiving of what? Life. When Jesus forgives you, he grants you eternal life. I want you to understand the gift he's giving when he forgives. When Jesus gives grace to us, he gives us eternal life. So when you give the gift of grace and forgiveness to another person, guess what you give? You give them life. It's not the exact same kind of life. It's not eternal life. But if you've ever been forgiven by somebody, you know exactly what it feels like to have them forgive you and feel that burden and pain and disappointment in yourself lifted and to know that that person has forgiven me. You are giving and receiving life. If there is somebody in your life today that you need to ask forgiveness of, or you need to forgive, remember how big it is. Remember how important it is. Remember that you are giving and receiving life when you forgive. And remember that Jesus did it first, He did it best, and He is our great example. And He has filled us with a Spirit which will enable us to forgive all those who come to us in repentance. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask Jamie to come up this morning. And this is our last message in this series on forgiveness, but it won't be the last one I ever preach. Amen? It won't even be close. If you hang out with me for a few more years, you'll hear some more forgiveness messages. But I don't want you to leave today without doing some serious work in prayer. Now, right now, you're getting an opportunity to pray. This is not just a time in the service where we fold up our stuff and put our Bibles away and we start thinking about what we're going to do when we get home. It's not just a time where Jamie sings another song. This is a time where you get to deal with what was spoken in this word. You get to deal with the scripture. You get to deal with the story of Peter. You get to deal with whatever the Holy Spirit was doing in you while it was being preached. And I have no idea what God's doing in you right now, but don't neglect it. Use this time to work it out. And I promise you, He will give you leadership as to what you need to do. Amen.